The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Korea 360 on Money FM 89.3. We look at the manpower sector here, also your career and lifelong learning. Now, according to a poll conducted by DBS, 26.5% of small businesses cite manpower issues as one of their main pain points. So how can businesses and SMEs prepare themselves for the eventuality of a global talent shortage? Nilay Khandelwal is Managing Director at Michael Page Singapore, and he talks us through how SMEs can overcome the talent crunch. Nilay, thanks so much for coming and joining us today.
Thank you for having me here.
What do you reckon is the issue in the SME space? Is it an overall labour crunch issue, or are there issues specific to SMEs as to why they can't seem to be attracting talent?
I think SMEs as a segment is an important segment in Singapore as a landscape, and we see increasing importance of SME companies growing in various sectors, especially in the technology-related fields. I think the Singapore government has extended quite a lot of incentives to woo the entrepreneurs in this segment. But as we grow the industry base here, talent definitely has come to a question mark in some cases. And reason for that is attractiveness to some of the SMEs and competition with the multinational companies that Singapore SMEs will face in the local landscape.
Are we still battling, though, Nilay, those stereotypes that working at an MNC is better? Anecdotally, my younger friends will tell me, no, they don't want to just be the small cog in the huge wheel. They want to have some kind of autonomy when it comes to their careers.
True, absolutely right. I think to a large extent, that stereotype has been addressed with a lot of startups coming into the scene. SMEs predominantly, I think, in order to stay competitive, a lot of digitization has happened in that area. Again, since 2015, there has been a stress by the government on how to better upskill the kind of talent that you have internally. But if you look at some of the surveys that have been done, whether it's DBS or whether it is Spring, we have seen that on one side, the companies in the SME segment, they are thinking that in 9 out of 10 cases, they are actually having the resources to take the organization to the next level. But on the flip side, if you ask the employees the same question, they probably will say, and in 4 out of 5 cases, they are saying that probably we are not skilled enough and we probably will get that skill set in a multinational. Now, why multinational? Because organized talent development departments. So it's not just about the lip service of whether do I have a talent development as an agenda on the table, or are we doing something really specifically about that and making sure that we are not ready for today, we are ready for tomorrow? And I think there's a gap that exists, not just within SME, but in the overall talent segment. Whereas with automation and digitization, taking a hot seat in defining the kind of talent that we need, there is definitely a gap between what we have today and what we have tomorrow. So upskilling is probably the most important way to go about it. And in some cases, we are seeing that and witnessing that in SMEs. And the incentives that have been rolled out specifically focused on SME talent upgrade and skill advancement is a way forward in that area.
So that aspect is lacking in SMEs, you feel?
To a certain extent, yes.
Career progression clear path for employees.
Correct. I think that would be important to stay competitive and be on the edge when it comes to attracting talent and retaining them after you've got them on board.
So what can SMEs do, though? How can they up their visibility? Should they have some kind of program in place already?
Yeah, I think three areas that predominantly what we have looked at working with quite a few of clients and candidates in that area. First and foremost is building a very strong company culture. I think me and you very much are aware of when a youngster is looking at a company, they're not just looking at the job. They're looking at the person that they're going to work with. They're looking at what is the atmosphere like.
They're even looking at whether or not the company has CSR initiatives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not just the technicality of the job. It's what's around that technicality as well that has become very important. So culture and selling that culture within an interview process actually is very, very important. Sometimes we educate our hiring managers on that element as well, because a hiring manager, a technical hiring manager, probably will ask all the right questions technically and may or may not sell the other aspects of the job or the career within an organization and culture of the organization.
And how do you do that, if I may, without it sounding like trumpet blowing?
No, I think the different organizations do it differently. If we look at predominantly what has worked and to a large extent what has been attractive, is talking about how well-balanced is your work and life and how do people do that in your organization today. Flexibility in terms of working hours, allowing room for a remote working wherever possible. Young parents, how do you encourage them for progressive leave options? And lastly, the
childcare facilities, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, if you see in Singapore these days, quite a few organizations have got childcare just downstairs. And that really helps a lot in terms of commute for either the mother or the dad in that part of the world. And lastly, the general atmosphere that needs to be congenial, collaborative, and agile as you move forward in the organization. So that's one element of it. The second bit is really hire smart. And when I say hire smart, it is pretty much pinning down to seeking out for talent who are looking at learning as a very key component in defining what career they want. As we talked about the gaps that exist between today and tomorrow, if we are hiring these kind of individuals with the kind of mindset, very highly likely, when you upskill them, when you give them tools to enhance what they have today and what they can have tomorrow, these are the people who will stick around in the organization a lot longer. So I think hiring smart becomes very important, not just hire for what you need today. It's okay to hire a spade for a club, but then grow it into a spade over the period of time. That investment of time is critical as we move forward from a retention standpoint.
It also sounds like there must be some sort of investment in HR tech. You've got to go beyond, say, looking at resumes.
Yes, I mean, that's a whole new subject. What's the role of HR in the whole ecosystem? The last point really is the commitment to employee growth. And sometimes when we grow out of proportion, the structures that probably an MNC enjoys is something that SMEs need to look at a little bit more carefully and give its due importance. Things along the lines of having an onboarding process, having a evaluation process, having a merit score, and how do you then grow within the organization? Those are some of the key things to have as a structure rather than a one-on-one conversations. Now, SMEs do enjoy a very big benefit versus MNCs. They're less bureaucratic to a large extent, which means
more
that...
More agile, more nimble.
Absolutely. You know, if you want to make a change, that take ages because you don't have legacy baggage to a large extent. And they're smaller in size and scale, which means that you probably can have a personal touch with the employees that you have in the organization, what they want, where they want to take their career, what they don't like today. And that's the pulse of the organization that we talk about.
Gives employees some ownership as well for their own careers.
Accountability and ownership, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. How do you think government incentives and schemes have helped so far in this regard?
I think they have been there for some time now. I think this year's budget was very specific to directed towards SME as a segment. If you see the DBS survey, it is very clear that SMEs need quite a bit of help, especially when you want to internationalize, when you want to cross the boundaries of Singapore waters and go into other markets. They've talked about support that they need in terms of tax, understanding the local landscape, understanding the local partners. I think this focused approach on giving incentives and funds for SME segment, whether to digitize, whether to upskill their employees and the knowledge, I think will go a long way, and time will tell how this progresses over the rest of the year.
So those three factors that you talked about earlier, SMEs should build a strong culture, company culture, they should hire smart, they should commit to employee growth. How can SMEs go about doing that today, for example?
I think when you talk about committing to employee growth, what really helped them is to set up an HR function which has got processes in place and functional. You should have a standard operating procedure which is focused on onboarding, tracking the employee progress, development, and the employee evaluations. I think through this assessments, you'll be able to progress. You'll be able to monitor the progress of your team and ensure that they are giving the opportunities to learn and grow.
And you reckon this is suitable for any sort of SME,
absolutely.
10 people to 100 even?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think structure and a sense of ownership starts from 10, and it can be then you know, bloated up to 100 or whatever the size of the organization is. I think the culture is the first thing to address on a culture standpoint is the interview process. And when you're interviewing a candidate for your organization, how are you selling the organization culture in it? And also talking about marketing of what we have today.
Feels like you're being interviewed as well. The business is being interviewed by the potential employee.
I think these days when we meet candidates, they're quite clear. It's a two-way traffic, and it should be a two-way traffic, because as much as the client is trying to understand what is the selling points of this candidate, the candidate is also trying to buy into whether this is the sell that I want to get into.
Yeah. Do you think, though, less reliance on manpower might be the way to go? I mean, it's a generalization, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, automation. It's the fear, though, that the workforce has that they'll be made redundant.
If you pick up any news channel these days, you will see somewhere or other the AI word being used, automation, and whether that would lead to lesser manpower requirement. I think we had the same fear when computers came, and everyone thought that...
Or when the wheel was invented.
Exactly. I mean, what did that lead to? It led to more complex processes that need to be done by a human being. I think we need to strike a good balance between the two, whether it's whether we need to automate something, and there is definitely people got to be at the heart of your business, but you need to strike a good balance between the two.
And not just for the sake of.
No, I think some of the jobs will be transformed into automation. Some of the day-to-day job that can be automated will go on that journey. And that would mean that the current talent need to upscale themselves to then manage more strategic-oriented roles going forward.
MichaelPage.com.sg is where you can find them. Nile Kandawal is Managing Director at Michael Page Singapore. Nile, thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you so much for having me here.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.